All right, open your Bibles. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, that's towards the back of your Bible there. 1 Thessalonians. We're looking at chapter 1. And then we're going to go over to chapter 5 in 1 Thessalonians. I said this morning our subject tonight was going to be the subject of why the church will not go through the rapture. Now, most of us believe that. I would say if I asked how many folks in here believe that, everybody would raise their hand. The question is, why do you believe that? You say, well, the preacher said. Doesn't matter what the preacher said. The response should be, I saw it in the Bible. And tonight, that's what we're going to do. We're going to see it in the Bible. And this is one of the most precious truths that we have today, that there's coming a rapture. We sang about it. It'll be worth it all. When we see Jesus, when he comes and snatches his bride away. And that's what we're talking about. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things here in these verses. Now, look at verse 10 of chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians. Verse 10, did we get that up? Okay, we're up there. By the way, isn't that a wonderful picture?
Yes.
Now, the only thing I differ with here is they have regular clothes on. I think it's going to be robes of white.
Amen.
But anyway, everybody's going that's in the church. And there are going to be a lot of people left behind. A lot of people left behind. But thank God we won't be.
Amen.
Now, 1 Thessalonians 1:10. He says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come.
Amen.
Then go over to chapter 5, verse 1. Chapter 5 and verse 1. Again, Paul writing to the Thessalonians, and he seemed to really major with these people on the idea of the rapture and the coming of Christ. As we read this first epistle, boy, he's just, you know, they had a real issue with that. Not that they didn't believe it, but they didn't understand it. And so he says in chapter 5 here, but of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Look up here. The day of the Lord is the tribulation period. That's the day of the Lord. And he says that's coming. Like a thief in the night. Now, he says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You're all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. He's talking about we have light. We have been given light about this thing. Therefore, he says, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Hey, look up here. I think the church is asleep today.
Amen.
What do you mean? We're slumbering. We're not being awake and aware. If we were, I think things would be a lot different in the church. And I'm not just talking about our church. I'm talking about the church in general. But he goes on. He says, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and over you in the Lord, and admonish you. And let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your revelation. We thank you for the truths that we find here concerning the rapture, the church, the second coming, all that you've revealed to us. Help us now to assimilate in our hearts and our minds these truths. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the subject at hand is that of the rapture of the church. Now, the idea or the doctrine of the coming rapture, by the way, rapture means catching away. Catching away. And that's exactly what the rapture is. Now, the doctrine of the rapture of believers is one that is by and large accepted by all true Bible believers. They believe in a rapture. Now, this is a predicted event, and it's actually, so far as we can find in the Bible, it's the next event found on God's calendar of prophecy. Let me bring this up. Here's a little timeline. And we see here Christ's death and burial and resurrection, His ascension there. Now, here's where we are in the church age. Here we are right there. But the next thing that's coming along, if you notice, is the rapture. And then the tribulation, and then the second coming, and then the great white throne, then heaven, eternity, etc., etc. We've seen all that before, haven't we? We've seen the charts. We know the timeline. We dealt with Daniel and the timelines and all. So understand, this is where we are. We're right there in that church age waiting for the rapture. Now, it's a predicted event. And most believers today are living with anticipation of the rapture. Amen. Now the rapture, while that word is not found in Scripture, you know, that's one of the arguments we hear from some of the false cults and things of that. Well, there are no true cults, but the false teachers and all, they say, well, the word rapture is not in the Bible. Nor is the word Trinity in the Bible. But those truths are in the Bible. The word may not be, but the fact is. And so while you won't find rapture, the word, in the Bible, you will find that believers believe it's true and it's right. Now, Paul describes the rapture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look over there. He says in verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." He's talking about those who are dead. Those who have died in Christ. These people had a concern. Well, what happens if the rapture happens and we're caught up? What about the ones who died? So Paul is explaining it to them. He says, verse 13, that we're not to be concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So we see here, Paul talks about it here, and we're not going to look at it, we don't have time, but 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 57, he's again talking about the rapture. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We may not all be dead when, we're not all going to be dead when the rapture happens. Some people are going to be alive who are Christians, and they're going to go, and those who are in the grave are going to be caught up together with them, we're going to go to be with the Lord. So we understand all that. We know all that. Now, he's going to come in the clouds. We're going to go to be with him. Those who are in the grave are going to come out of the grave. We're all going to have glorified bodies. We're going to go to be with the Lord forever. Now, the fact, the truth of the belief in the rapture for believers is an accepted doctrine, I said, for most believers. However, this truth of the rapture of believers isn't without controversy. The rapture has three main streams of belief. Almost all believers believe in the rapture, but you'll find three main ideas, if you will, or thoughts or beliefs on this idea. Some believe the rapture will take place before the great tribulation starts. Amen. That's us. We are called pre-tribulation rapturists. Pre meaning before. We believe before the tribulation ever starts, we're going to be raptured out of here. Now, some people, and I don't believe they're right in this, but they believe that we're going to go through, the church is going to go through half the tribulation period. They're going to go through the first 3.5 years because the really bad, terrible, awful 3.5 years are at the end of the tribulation. So they say, well, no, we're going to go through the first 3.5 years, and then mid-tribulation, we're taken out of here. They're called mid-tribulation rapturists. And there are some who believe that the church is going to go through the entire tribulation period. Now, I think that's pure heresy. But they believe that, and they think that the church isn't going to be raptured out of here till the end of the tribulation period. Now, our position is that of pre-tribulation rapture, and tonight I want to show you why we believe that. We need to remember it's not important what man thinks, and what man thinks is not our basis for our beliefs. What we believe, we must be able to substantiate from the Scriptures, and we're going to do that tonight. Now, why will the church not go through the tribulation period? Number one, there it is. We don't believe it'll go through it because as we read the Bible and we read about prophecies and things, we get into the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, from chapter 4 through chapter 18, it deals with the great tribulation period. And in all those chapters, you will not find the church mentioned one time. We believe it's because the church isn't here. All the events that are taking place don't involve the church whatsoever. And if you look at the book, you'll see it. In chapters 4 through 18, it deals with the events of the 7 years tribulation. John is caught up to heaven. By the way, I think that's kind of an indication of the rapture. That John is caught up into heaven to see what's going to go on in the tribulation. And then we see that things taking place there, 7 sealed judgments, 7 trumpet judgments, 7 bowls, that's all in there. Never is the church mentioned. Then we get to chapter 19, and in verses 7 and 8, we then see the bride, the church, being mentioned. And that's when the church and Christ have the marriage supper of the Lamb. The church is clothed in white linen and clean. So look at chapter 19 of Revelation. I want you to see this. Verse 11. And I saw... I'm sorry. That's. I wrote a wrong reference down here. Let's see. It's earlier in that chapter. Oh, there it is, verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the great multitude, the voice of many waters, the voice of mighty thunder, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad, verse 7, and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife, that's the church, hath made herself ready. So that's the first mention of the church since chapter 4. And of course, this takes place in heaven. So we don't see the church on earth. And then down in verses 11 through 16 that I gave you, we see there the church is coming with the Lord Jesus Christ, his saints with clothes in fine linen, clean and white, and we're gonna come back with him. We'll talk more about that later. So first of all, we don't believe the church is going through the tribulation because as we read about the tribulation, we don't find the church mentioned. Now, that's you say, well, you know, well, that's just one thing. We're building our case here. There's a second reason. Because as we read the Bible, we find that the church is not looking for the tribulation period. We're looking for the Lord to come. Amen. Listen, I don't get up every day and say, oh, praise God, maybe the tribulation will start today. Do any of you? Have I ever encouraged you, hey, live every day that today or tomorrow or what, or just that quick, the tribulation period could start? That's not what we're looking for. We're encouraged and we're blessed and we rejoice and we say, hey, this could be the day the rapture happens. Every day we look up at those clouds. By the way, on cloudy days, I'm more inclined to think it might happen. When I see the clear skies, I say, well, he said he's coming in the clouds. Maybe it's not going to be today. But listen, we sang, it'll be worth it all. We look at the trials, the tribulations, the hurts, the heartaches of this world. And let me tell you something. The physical difficulties of this world. You know, remember Brother Barron's? You know, he preached his last message here. Amen. And you know what he said to me? He said, Brother Gilmore, getting old's not for sissies. He's right. And the older you get, the more you understand these old bodies wear out. And, you know, I think the older you get, the more anticipating you are of that rapture when you're going to get a new body. No more eyeglasses, no more false teeth, no more contact lenses, no more artificial limbs, you know, all that. All perfect bodies. Amen? And we look forward to that. We're not looking forward to the tribulation. I'm not looking forward to going through any of that. I'm looking to get out of here. Amen. I've always joked a little bit, you know, I'm told that Baptists, they're always more anticipating the rapture at the end of the month.
That's right. Amen.
When all the bills are due. And that's okay. Hey, I'm all for leaving them to the Antichrist. I knew a man, this was back in Pastor Fernandez's church, Carol Lazotte. He came in one day, he was getting up in his years, and he said, I bought a brand new Cadillac. Now, Carol Lazotte was not a rich man. He said, I bought a brand new Cadillac. I said, you did? Now, all his kids were raised, you know, and they were in that empty nest thing. He said, yeah. He said, I just decided I've been wanting a Cadillac all my life. I went and bought a Cadillac. And he said, now I'm praying a rapture will happen and Antichrist can pay for it. Now, I don't advise that kind of thinking, but, you know, it's there. So we see, the church is waiting for the Lord. We saw over in 1 Thessalonians, go back there, verse 10, chapter 1, verse 10. Paul reminds them, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, we looked at the rapture in chapter 4 and verse 13 and beyond. He says in chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians 2, jump over there. Look at verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. What's he talking about? He's talking about the rapture. When we're going to be gathered together to him. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 54. He says over there, the dead in Christ. Well, let me read it to you. You don't have to go there. I'm going to read it. 1 Corinthians 15. I said that's more information, if you will, about the rapture. And in 51 he says, but I show you a mystery. This is something we don't have all the understanding of. He says, we shall not all sleep. That means die. We shall not all be dead, but we shall all be changed. What do you mean changed? He said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. Listen, at that instant of the rapture, we're changed into glorified bodies. Amen. And he goes on to talk about that. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must have put on immortality. He's talking about the rapture. When the dead who are in Christ will come out with a new body and those who are alive and remain will receive their new body, will be caught up together. What he's talking about. Listen, we're looking forward to the Lord coming, not the tribulation. You know, the tribulation is something you ought to dread. In Matthew 25, and we don't have time to look at all the verses, Jesus talks about how terrible it's going to be. It's so terrible, men will flee to caves and the mountains and beg to die, and they can't. I'm not looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to missing it. Paul says here to wait for the Lord. And it's interesting the language here. That word wait means an eager waiting. A looking forward to. One man said it's kind of like, you know, a parent who awaits their child to come home at night. They're anxious. They're waiting to see that. Or a wife that's waiting for a husband to come home from work. Anxious anticipation waiting. The rapture is something that's to be anxiously awaited. So we see there, Number one, the church is not found anywhere in the Bible in Revelation chapter 4 through 18. And then the church is waiting for the Lord, not the tribulation. Then the church is not appointed under wrath. Amen. We saw that two different places. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, 1 Thessalonians 5:9. We're told we are not appointed unto wrath. Now you say, well, preacher, what's the wrath? Well, it's a word, orge. And it's often used in the Bible to depict God's purposes in judgment. If you want to jot these verses down, look at them. Matthew 3, 7, Luke 3, 7, Romans 1, 18, Ephesians 2, 3, Colossians 3, 6. This same word is used, and it all has to do with God's judgment. Wrath, as Paul writes about it here, refers to the coming time when God pours out his judgment on this world. And it's going to be an awful time. Awful time. John Phillips said this: the people living on the earth, when the seal judgments are unleashed, will cry in terror to the mountains and rocks, saying, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. The wrath to come is not a part of God's plan for the church. Paul says we're delivered from that. And when he says delivered, it has the idea of being rescued. Amen. Listen, we're rescued from facing that. And also it has to do, and if you're an English major, it's a present tense, which means it's ongoing. And so God is rescuing us now, and he's going to rescue us then. And then Paul says we're not appointed. That's an interesting word. Appointed means to purpose or to ordain or to commit to something. We're not committed. We're not ordained. We're not purposed to go through all that. And realize the word not is to be emphasized. That word, that little word not, is so important. It indicates a full and direct negation. It's an absolute. It's independent of all conditions. We are not, absolutely not, appointed to wrath. Unchangeable fact. One man said this: blessed be God, he has promised to save his church from all of that tribulation wrath. We're not appointed to go through the tribulation or any part of it. Believers throughout the ages of grace have had to keep an appointment with death. We're appointed to die. It's an appointed of all men once to die. You got an appointment. So do I. We don't know when it's coming, but we have an appointed time for death. We're going to keep that appointment. But the rapture will save them from the appointment of going through the tribulation. No Christian with either God's eternal wrath or his dispensational wrath will face it. Why the church will not go through the tribulation? We see these three reasons. But there's another reason. We'll not go through it. Because the church has to be removed before Antichrist is going to be revealed. 2 Thessalonians. Go over there with me. 2 Thessalonians. It's in here somewhere. I know it. I saw it. There it is. 2 Thessalonians. Now go to chapter 2 there. We read the first verse. But look what Paul says here. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, by our gathering together unto him, the rapture, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. You know, Paul was looking for the rapture in his day. He says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. You looking? Except there come a fall away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. He's taught, remember, the day of Christ, that's the tribulation period. He says it's not going to come until there's a falling away and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, that's the Antichrist, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's what Antichrist is going to do. Then he says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth. I want to call your attention to that verse. Amen. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Paul says, you know that things are being held back until his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of truth, that they might be saved. Now, here's what Paul's telling them there. There has to be a taking away of the Holy Spirit before the son of perdition will be revealed, before the tribulation period starts. Now watch this. It's kind of difficult language, but he says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit is right now restraining Satan. In verse 6, he says, you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. He says, you know what's holding back from the son of perdition, the Antichrist, from being revealed. And then he reveals what it is. By the way, he says in verse 7, he that letteth, and that means to hold down. In this dispensation, Satan is being held back by the Holy Spirit. Now you say, wait a minute, preacher. This is Satan's world. He's the God of this world, the Bible says. Yes, he's having his way in a lot of ways. But understand this. He's not having his complete way. You know what's holding him back from having his complete way? You and me. Well, how am I doing that? Through the Holy Spirit of God. Where does the Holy Spirit dwell today? In believers. Jesus said, we're the salt of the earth. You see, believe it or not, our influence in the world is helping to hold back Satan. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's having a lot of things his way, but he's not having all his way. He will in the tribulation period. Now, if the Holy Spirit's going to be taken out of this world, what has to happen? Believers have to be taken out of this world because he lives in us. So when the rapture happens, the Holy Spirit is taken out of this world in the believer's life. You say, you mean the Holy Spirit's never going to be in this world again? Well, during the tribulation, he's going to be dealing with people, but not like he is now. Not indwelling people like he is now. Not in the church like he is now. The church is the place of the Holy Spirit. We are the church. And in order for the tribulation to start, we have to be removed because we're holding it back. That's why the church won't go through the tribulation. It can't start till we're gone. The Antichrist cannot be revealed. Look at verse 8. Till the Holy Spirit is taken out. And then Paul says, shall that wicked be revealed? That's the Antichrist. So until the rapture happens, nobody will really know who he is. Now I know sometimes, have you ever thought, I kind of like to know who he is. But see, think about this. If the church and the Christians really knew who the Antichrist was, do you think any Christian would try to kill him? I think it's possible. I think a zealous Christian could have the thought, let me wipe him out before he ever does what he's going to do. But see, God's not going to let that happen. God already has a plan. The plan is get my church out of here and let Antichrist have his way for 7 years without the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine what this world is going to be like without the Holy Spirit? Look how bad it is with him. And when all the restraint of sin is taken away, there's another reason the church won't go through the tribulation. Because it's the 70th week of Daniel. I'm not going to spend much time on this because we just studied Daniel. But the 70th week of Daniel is when God pours out his wrath and deals with the Jews again. Remember, 69 weeks of Daniel was said where God was dealing with the Jews. You remember that? And then Christ came and God stopped dealing with the Jews. You remember that? And we're in this little parenthesis there that we've showed you on the timeline. We call it the church age. God is not dealing with Israel anymore. He hasn't chalked them off. He's set them aside. He's not done with them. 69 weeks. Now, Daniel says there's going to be 70 weeks of God dealing with the Jews. 69 are past, but there's a 70th week coming. We're in the parenthesis between those. And that's the church age. And when God calls the church out, that 70th week begins. The clock starts ticking again on Israel. But it's not until the church is taken out that God will deal with Israel once again. The bride is going to be taken away, and then God will deal with his chosen people, Israel. Somebody said, the only one who can restrain Satan and his angels is the Holy Spirit. The instrument of that restraint, ever since Pentecost, has been the church, the mystical body of Christ into which believers are baptized. Nothing can happen prophetically until a change occurs and the mighty power that is restraining Satan and his minions is removed. And so we understand the church, and this is the final one, returns with Christ at the end of the tribulation. The last reason we will not go through the tribulation. Go over to Revelation 19. Well, before you stop at Jude on your way there. Jude 14. He says, and Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, and Pastor Fidena touched on this, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh, look at this, with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, with all their ungodly, which they have ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. The Lord is coming. Who's coming with him? He says, 10,000s, that's plural. Not 10,000. 10,000s of his saints. Now get over to Revelation 19. And we find out who this is. Who Jude is talking about. Verse 11. Now understand, this is the end of the tribulation period. Now the church has come back into view. And it says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Now look at verse 14. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And if you look back at verse 8, and he's talking about his church arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Listen, that's us. When Jesus comes back, now listen, there are two returns of Christ, and people don't often understand them. One, he's coming in the rapture. He will not come to the earth. He'll come in the clouds. And we will go to meet with him up there. Then 7 years later, at the end of this tribulation period, he's coming, not in the clouds, he's coming back to earth. And he's going to defeat Antichrist, and he's going to destroy the armies of the world in that battle of Armageddon, and he's going to set up his kingdom here on earth. But we're coming with him. And we're going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. That's the church. That's those 10,000s. Look what he says there. Look at the language. He says, and the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed and in fine linen, white and clean. That's us. Now, if we're going through the tribulation period, how in the world could we come back with him when we're not up with him? No, we're there. And earlier in that chapter, it talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's what we're going to be doing for 7 years. Now, Jesus promised to come back and to receive us unto himself. You remember John 14:3? And if I go to prepare a place, I will doubtless come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He promised to come back and get us. Paul comforts the Thessalonians with the truth of the rapture of the church. All through that, the epistles of Thessalonians, he's talking about it. Throughout the centuries, there have been deniers of this fact. Also, some have tried to make the church go through part of the tribulation, but the Bible is very clear on the subject. The church must be out of here before the tribulation starts. Now, we look around today, and let me tell you something. We see many signs that the rapture is imminent. It could happen any day. Everything's in place. We're just waiting for that day. And I remember Pastor Vidani used to say oftentimes, God's waiting for that last soul to be saved. And think about this. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you were the person that got to lead that last person to Christ? Can you imagine going soul winning and talking to somebody and saying, wouldn't you like to trust Christ today? Yes, I would. Well, let's just pray right now. And you ask Jesus to save you. And that person comes to Christ and says, oh, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and save me. I accept you as my Savior. And boom! In the twinkling of an eye.
Yes, amen.
You say, well, I didn't know that was going to happen. Wow. And by the way, that twinkling of an eye, we say that quick. You see, I think it's going to be faster than that. I think Paul used an idiom there to try to tell us how fast it's going to be, but I don't think it's literal twinkling of an eye. I think it's faster than we could ever imagine. I mean, just, and we're gone. Now, we see the signs. And we see one of the signs is a falling away. Paul said, 2 Thessalonians 2:3, there first must be a falling away. He was talking about the falling away from faith. Is that true in our society today? Isn't our society going totally away from God? That just makes it all the more evident that we're close. Here's what John Phillips wrote. If we take this to be the meaning, and he's talking about apostasy of the church today, if we take this to be the meaning, then Paul indicates that the last days will be marked by a falling away from the truth, a turning away from God, abandonment of Christian faith, and the Judeo-Christian ethic. Judeo-Christian ethic. He's talking about a total abandonment of God. And that's what we see in our society. With the rise of atheism, communism, humanism, and the spread of false oriental religions, this seems to be a marked feature of our current age. Pornography and perversion are championed. Bible reading and prayer have been banned from our schools, but every form of deviation can be espoused there. The soul-destroying dogma of evolution is accepted as a matter of course, and the Christian view of creation is refused a hearing. Many churches have become cold, liberal, and spiritually dead. Satanism is on the rise. The courts tolerate abortion and lifestyles abhorrent to New Testament Christianity. The stage is being set for the coming of the Son of Man and the Son of Sin. While it's disheartening, troubling, discouraging to see all this, the bright side is that it means the rapture must be very near. I read the newspaper. Do I get despondent and discouraged? Well, for a few seconds. And then I say, well, Lord, you said it's going to be this way. This is how you said it's going to be, and it's near. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Now, I believe the Bible is clear in its teaching of Christ coming for his bride, the church, the body of believers of this age, coming for them before Antichrist and the tribulation begins. Now, it's a very comforting thought, and I think a comforting truth we find in the Bible. And we live in expectation. And it should bring us in that state of expectation. But it should also stir us to a greater zeal and effort in our efforts to reach others for Christ. See, because once the rapture happens, it's over for them. If they're left behind, they will never, never, never be saved. You know, a few years ago, that Left Behind series became very popular. And I was kind of glad for it. And I didn't agree with everything they said. But one thing it did was it stirred some people to think about there's a rapture going to happen. And there's a tribulation coming to this earth. Where am I going to be? Well, I can't answer for you, but I know where I'm going to be. I'm going to be up there with him. I'm not going through any of it. And I'm not basing that on my emotions or what I think. I just showed you all the scriptural reasons I believe we're going to be out of here. If you're a part of the church, if you're saved, if you've trusted Christ, you're going to be out of here. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Isn't that a blessing? But listen, if you're not saved, and the rapture happens, you're going to be like Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. You're going to be without hope. You'll go through the tribulation period. You'll suffer some of those things. You'll come to that place of begging the mountains and the rocks to fall on you. It'll be that terrible. We can't imagine how bad it's going to be. Yeah? Literal hell on earth. Aren't you glad Jesus saved you from it? You know, we're saved from hell, but we're saved from a lot more than just hell. Wow. I hope that's helped you tonight. Let's bow our heads.